Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In a world awash in moral impurity, it's hard to be unaffected. Your computer gives you email, but also easy access to evil. So do we toss out our PCs, tablets, and smartphones? Today, finding a workable balance that protects us from sin, but enables us in our daily lives. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 as Erwin Lutzer comes with more of loving the world, loving God.
So the question that we have to answer in the moments that we have left is this: what do we do if we are going to redeem the media for the glory of God? Now, I know, of course, as I mentioned last time, the internet is being used mightily to spread the gospel. I get that. But I'm talking about our individual, personal, private use of the media. What do we need to do? Now, what I'm going to share with you in this message is kind of hard stuff. And I've prayed that I would have the proper balance between being pastoral, which of course I always want to be, and putting it very clearly. And remember, whatever I say to you applies to me as well. What an agenda for the next few moments. You know, it was Tozer who said that men today think that the world, that is Christian men, is not a battleground but a playground. We're not here to fight, he says. We're here to frolic. We are not in a foreign land. We feel very much at home. What is there in the world that we haven't imbibed? We do feel at home. What's this business about being strangers and pilgrims and singing, "This world is not my home"? This world is our home. Name one thing that the world has and listens to and watches that we don't. And then it says, we are not getting ready to live, the average Christian thinks, but we're already living. The question is, how do we live it to the full? All right, all that by way of introduction and getting us into the text of Scripture and then talking about technology and the Christian. 1 John chapter 2, you'll notice it says this: do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions, it's not from the Father, it's from the world. When John says don't love the world and he speaks about the lust of the flesh, that has to do with our basic human fallen desires. Of course, there are good lusts and good desires, if we use the word desire, the desire to eat, the desire for sexual intimacy, the desire to drink, the desire to enjoy ourselves. But all of these have been perverted because of the fall, and the world now sucks us into its mold, and it's the desires of the flesh. Remember the last message I preached, I mentioned that we have within ourselves a flammable substance. And with all of the sparks and with all of the fires that are burning out there, they set us aflame within. And turn on your television set at any time, and you can see that. So John says here that we should not love the world, and neither the things that are in the world. And of course, we'll talk about those implications. Secondly, it says the desires of the eyes. You could, in context, actually translate the word desire here to refer to craving. The craving of the sinful flesh, which we have, of course, whether there be a media or not. Fighting the passions is not a new challenge for the Christian. Even those who were in the monasteries had to, because as we learned last time, it arises from our inner nature. But it's the stimuli without. It's the stimulization without. And then it says the craving of the eyes. Your eyes have an appetite. They crave certain things. And the power of the eyes to influence the brain and to have a permanent effect on who we are and what we value is powerful and unrelenting. And then he goes on to say, by the way, you remember Achan? The Bible says he saw a garment he wasn't supposed to touch or steal. He saw, he coveted it and took it. And then it says, hid it in his tent. Isn't that technology? It gives us an opportunity to see, to covet, to take, and then to hide. And John says, that's the world. And then he says the pride of possessions. Actually, the pride of life is a good translation. It refers to possessions. But notice this, the first two categories refer to that which we don't have, which we would like to have. We covet. And this second category now is to take pride in what we have. The pride of life. And could we say that, as you've heard me say at another occasion, pride of race, that's the root of racism, is the pride of life. Pride of race, pride of grace, our abilities, which are given to us of God that we take credit for. Pride of face, oh my. You know, today, beauty is the gold coin of human worth. You know, you young people, and many of you are here today, and some of you young ladies are very beautiful. There's a sense in which I feel sorry for you because our culture is going to put so much pressure on you to become immoral. The pressure is going to be huge and unrelenting. Years ago, I was preaching in a Bible college, and I said the same thing I told you now, and I said, I think beauty is a curse. Later on, a student told me that a girl went into her room and said, oh, God, if beauty is a curse, smite me with it, and may I never recover. But those of you who are striking in your appearance, so many more opportunities you will have than the rest of us, but so many temptations. So you have pride of race, pride of grace, pride of face, pride of place. Who are you? Look at where you work. Look at what you own. You know, Pastor Wiersbe, who preceded me here as pastor, said on one occasion that when you think of the world, the Bible says, first of all, we shouldn't be friends with the world. You know what James says? He says that to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. Wow. So Wiersbe says you shouldn't be friends with the world. And then if you are friends with the world, you're spotted by the world. James uses that illustration in chapter 1, spotted by the world. And then we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then, if not, we may be condemned by the world. How seductive it really is. But the question is, how do we counter it? How do we say to ourselves, well, we're going to use technology privately and personally, but we're going to use it for the glory of God. How's that going to work? Well, let's look at the text again and remind ourselves of a couple of things. First of all, every heart loves something. Every heart loves something. In fact, the Bible is very clear about this, and we are basically desire-driven. Whichever is the greatest desire wins. So I would like to give you three or four ways in which we should love God, and we'll relate it to the temptations of this world, and we'll see how God leads us from there. First of all, you'll notice it says very clearly here that if you love the world, verse 15, the love of the Father isn't in you. What it means is that you and I should love God exclusively. He should have full right into every single crevice and closet of our minds and heart. Nothing cordoned off that says this is for me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Loving God exclusively. John Piper put it rather bluntly, but clearly. He says, if you love the world, you're a God hater. Now, is that too strong? What did I quote from James? You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? I guess Piper is right. That if we love the world, it really doesn't matter how loudly we sing on Sundays. It doesn't matter how many verses of Scripture we memorize. The fact is that the love of the Father is not in us if we love the world. Because clearly we're to love God exclusively, and the love of the world and love of God are mutually exclusive. Have you had the experience, as I know I have, and you probably also, where you come home from church maybe, and or maybe you've had a great time in your devotional life, and you just say to yourself, you know, I just really met God, and you've been cleansed, you've confessed your sin, and your relationship with God is just so satisfying. Then you get home and you flip on the TV and you see a sensual scene and you begin to carry it out and you begin to see it. And immediately this love for God that you had begins to drain away like a pitcher that is broken at the bottom and the water drains out. My dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Here on Running to Win, we take the Bible in one hand and then human nature and the kind of trials that we are going through in the other, and by God's grace, do our best to bring the two together. Running to Win is enabling many people to run the Christian life and to do so successfully. I have in my hands a letter from someone who says, I was listening to you on radio, the Christians in Conflict series. You talked about vengeance belonging to God. Suddenly I had an epiphany. I feel free. That's the best birthday gift I've ever had. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we receive reports like this because of people like you who stand with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. May I suggest that you become an endurance partner? Here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. That, of course, is all one word, offerrtw.com. Click on the endurance partner button. Or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Thank you for joining the Running to Win family. Together, we're making a difference.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Loving the World, Loving God. Another message in a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Next time, another positive step we can take in the ongoing battle. The need for us to guard our hearts has never been greater. This 6-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.